We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. You also might know this as the Gilcast. You also might be listening to this on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Nate Noling, joined by Sammy Reed. Week 17, best ball finals, you know, Christian McCaffrey in cash, people eating Evan Ingram chalk. Don't know when that's ever gone well for people. Lot going on, of course, you know, next week, week 18. Peter Overzet joins the show for Cash Game Week. It's going to be beautiful. You know, how we doing? How we doing, fellas?
I'm tilting, boys. I'm tilting. How are you?
I mean, it was should have been a tilting day. And Christian McCaffrey, the combination of Christian McCaffrey and Justin Jefferson just bailing Nate and I out like the fucking kings of cash games we are. We just held the line. We didn't swap. We didn't. We stuck to our roots of team jam them in. McCaffrey in the flex instead of a wide receiver. You know, it's just sometimes you just got to play the running back over the wide receiver, Nate. I mean, just we just alpha'd these people today.
We did. I mean, I was sitting there. I had the swap dialed up, edit lineup. I had it sitting there just waiting to assign export to all. And I just said, nope, I'm holding.
I'm holding with 49ers D. The reason why I did not swap was because of two guys who, well, here, let's do this. Let's go through the team. So Nate played Jared Goff, James Conner, Brian Robinson Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, Drake London, Greg Dortch, Evan Ingram, fucking idiot, Christian McCaffrey, and the 49ers defense. I played Goff, Saquon Barkley, Brian Robinson, Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Greg Dortch, Hunter Henry, Christian McCaffrey in the 49ers defense. Sammy played the same team as me, but he played Cade Otton and the Falcons defense instead of Hunter Henry and the 49ers.
Smooth, Sammy. Real smooth.
No, that's fine. Nate, fucking Evan Ingram, bro. Evan Ingram, Come on, explain.
Davis,
yourself.
You spent the whole morning texting us like, oh, I'm so afraid of Evan Ingram giving me the blade. I don't know what I'm going to do if he gives me the blade. You were just tilted.
I'd be very tilted. But at the end of the day, I thought the concession you had to make to get, I mean, I guess the guy I wanted was Saquon, who sucked ass. So maybe I should dial it back a little bit. But well, Evan Ingram, yeah. Bro.
Well, no, it wasn't just Evan Ingram. It was honestly the James Conner. It was James Conner, Drake London, Evan Ingram versus Saquon, punt tight end, and Garrett Wilson. I was most scared of fading Garrett Wilson, I think. But
you, I mean,
and you should have been. And you should have been. The dude got 11 targets and like didn't produce.
You just gilded it. Nate won today, but you gilded it, dude. What is what?
This is classic Nemo Noling. That's what he does. He gills it and he gets there. It's just
James Conner legit. If he didn't get hurt in this game, James Conner easily has 100 yards, easily has a touchdown. James Conner was on the way to smash Saquon and didn't.
James Conner has like a 30% chance of getting hurt in any single game. Did your algorithm tell you that? This guy's so dusty.
I'm not gonna abide by that because James Conner does have like the best role in the NFL right now. So I'm not shaming Nate for playing James Conner. What I will shame him for is this text message that we received at about 10:37.
Oh, the receipts.
And I said, yeah, I think London over any of these running backs is bad. And Nate said, yeah, because getting a 30% target share at 4.9K feels really bad. London is a great play. And then I said 30% of 118 yards is not good. How many passing yards did Desmond Ritter get to 100 passing yards today? That's a good trivia for us. I bet he was pretty close to not.
I bet he
169.
Did.
Good for him. 169. Yeah. Drake London outgained by Michael Pruitt on the day.
Okay, Drake London is legit. Since Kyle Pitts is a legit alpha. I mean, this dude is putting up whopper numbers that would make your brain explode. And he's 4.9. He's 4.9 yeah, but with a legit target share. Not like a ceiling of 30-something percent, but like a floor to a mean projection of 33 to 35%. That at 4.9K, I'm not scared.
Here's
when I can
thing.
Get that in. It's in not like vacuum, I'm punting with Nico vacuum, freaking Collins.
In a vacuum, you are not wrong. Drake London, I thought, was a pretty good tournament play. I played him. We'll talk about tournament stuff a little bit later. But playing him over Garrett Wilson, Nathaniel, was just stupid, dude. It just was.
No. Drake London dumb. In a dome, week 17 in this
in
game.
In a dome.
That's what it was. It was the dome that put it over the edge for Nate. He just saw.
I know Derek Carty
had
with
visions
right
of
now.
Greg Dortch and Drake London going back and forth and just winning him the week in the
I had
dome.
Greg Dortch. I had James Conner. I had Drake London.
I mean, Nate,
you could have been
so buried in the massive $50 double up. Garrett Wilson was 56% owned. And Drake London was 12%. So I guess your lineup was
still
probably
on edge in week 17.
My God, I can't deal with this today. I don't think I can do it. I may have to sign off early.
I mean, imagine, Sammy, imagine if you were doing this and you had Justin Jefferson, though, who just had one catch. Imagine if you were doing this show and Justin Jefferson had one reception.
No, here's the thing. Not playing Justin Jefferson in the frozen tundra of week 17 in Green Bay when a perfectly good CMC in the dome is available for you. Like that's coming off of
last week where Davis swapped onto the nuts. The fact that he didn't swap this week onto Justin Jefferson until his face off is like
the listeners missed
an incredible show.
I would have been inconsolable, but I actually think, I mean, the reason why I didn't swap was because all these chalk plays that people got on were horrible. Miles Sanders, 6 points. James Conner wasn't horrible. He beat Saquon and Brian Robinson, but he didn't smash. The only guy who like really smashed was ETN. People played like Ramondre. He did horrible. But the big reason why I didn't swap was Evan Ingram was 42% owned and he got 3 points. So I was like, I already beat that spot with less salary with Hunter Henry because Hunter Henry got.
You had Goff.
And had, well, I mean, everyone had Goff was 75%.
Everybody had Goff.
Yeah, everybody had Goff. But it was really that Evan Ingram. I was like, well, I'm just ahead points per dollar of all these teams because it I guess what Nate played was the CMC Ingram team. And I was pretty confident Garrett Wilson was going to outscore Drake London. Maybe he didn't even in the
he
end,
didn't.
But
he didn't.
But the swap was like, and also, I didn't think I would, if I was behind at all, I didn't think I was behind enough to go from McCaffrey with the 49ers defense down to the Rams defense. Obviously, the 49ers defense, I mean, this is why you do the defense swaps, because they were 60% owned and they got 3 points. Okay, let's do
two more than they deserved, as it turns out.
Yeah, you know, overtime, McCaffrey not getting the touchdown in overtime is a little bit.
I mean, the whole series of events. So McCaffrey smashes all day, so it's very hard to be like, oh yeah, I'm tilting CMC. But like right at the end of the game, they throw the screen to CMC, and he comes within a pubic hair of breaking it off, and he gets tackled. And it's right before the 2-minute warning, so they bring in Jordan Mason. And Mason is just going to be in there to run it once, and then it's going to be the 2-minute warning, and McCaffrey's going to come back in. And instead, he gets into the end zone, breaks off like a 20-yard or whatever, gets in by like, I mean, 3 inches, four inches, something like maybe that.
Not, yeah, just like elbow on the line, but ball over, yeah.
Yeah, so McCaffrey doesn't get the touchdown. He got snaked for touchdowns all day from the one, from the two, all this stuff. Then the Raiders go back and go down and score, and there's a minute to go. And it's like, oh, it's McCaffrey time. He doesn't get a single touch. He drops a pass that he normally catches. Big tilt. We go to overtime, where he does not touch the ball, and instead Jared Stidham, who's just like smacked his big dong around all day, throws this egregious interception, gets the chalk 49ers defense 2 points, and then they're on the like 3-yard line. And my wife sees that I'm sweating CMC so hard, and she goes, why don't they just run the ball to CMC? But of course they don't, right? And they just kneel it down and kick the field goal. And McCaffrey has all these chances to get all these extra points and doesn't get any. And the 49ers chalk defense, who got their asses kicked all day by Jared Stidham, get their 2 extra points and lose me a bunch of money. And I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I play DFS, but yeah, that's.
Yeah. Tough scene. I mean, not like nice teams exploded past the cash line, but comfortably there, comfortably won a good number of head. I guess we didn't say the points. Nate, 111.7. I got 106.4. Whirling Dervish, 101.9. Remember these screen names, folks. We cash game week. You want to be in with Peter. So Brian Robinson, I mean, I don't think I have ever been so tilted at a result. Brian Robinson gets 26 touches. He gets three carries from the 2-yard line, converts, because he's awful. The Brian Robinson play is not a play about him being good. He stinks, dude.
Do we know if the bullet is still lodged in his leg, or did they actually remove it? I think that's something we should have looked into before putting him into our cash game lineups.
Well, I mean, honestly, this dude
legit had 20 rushing attempts at half. I know. Oh, 100 yards plus a touchdown is a lock. And
he had 88 yards going into the fourth quarter and did not get a bonus. My primary thing was I'm not playing. So the blended optimal, this was the, I think this is establish the run, the blitz, and 4-for-4. It was Goff, Ramondre, Miles Sanders, and then every lineup, every team had these three wide receivers: Wilson, St. Brown, Dortch.
Yeah, if you did not play Wilson, St. Brown, and Dortch, you need to reevaluate, and that includes you, Nate Noling. This is pointed toward you.
No. Drake London at 4.9 was
Nate. Even Cardi was in on this. Cardi was not playing Drake London,
and Drake London
saying,
was
I'm
in the dome.
Wilson was a bad play. I'm just saying Drake London and James Conner was better.
But Jeez. Where?
What did Drake London end up doing? I need to know. Like he didn't do anything, right?
7 points.
No, he got like 9.
Whatever. He had like 4 for 40. Sure.
Whatever. Anyway, us sharps that played Brian Robinson and his massive role got whoop stanked by the Tyler Algier fish and
the
that
Tyler the Tyler so Algier the Tyler Algier people getting us. I mean, it's like whatever. They were $100 apart. I would have had to have played Jelani Woods in my lineup. Now, obviously, that 2v2 because Algier did so well. Let's see. What did Algier end up getting for the Falcons? Tyler Algier, 20 rushes. I mean, he literally just had Brian Robinson's game. He just scored. He just scored and did not get cucked
by Carson Wentz on the 1-yard line.
Yeah. So I don't feel bad about the Brian Robinson play in any way. The thing I do feel bad about looking at this lineup, because it's a 3v3. Ramondre, or it's just a 2v2. Ramondre, Miles Sanders versus Brian Robinson, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, give me the second side of that by like a country.
Oh my God.
Mile.
If you played Sanders and Ramondre, like shut it down. Just don't people, just cash out. Do not enter.
I mean, people played all sorts of permutations without Christian McCaffrey because he was only like 20% owned. Another permutation.
I thought CMC was going to be 40%+ owned. I was shocked. I was shocked.
I think the primary permutation that people played was Evan Ingram and Miles Sanders, James Conner, just like any other $7,000-ish running back. They effectively worked their whole lineup construction around getting Evan Ingram in. And look, good spot for the Jaguars. Evan Ingram's been really good. He projected really well. ETN projected really well. He got there for you, although he did get cucked twice on the goal line by Snoop Connor.
Oh, they just like took him out after the half. They were not.
I don't think he played a snap in the second half. Jacksonville was tough.
I did want to talk about that. So like because the Jags are heading into this game, winning this game. They were live to win this game, lose next week and still make the playoffs. And the things they needed to happen actually did end up happening today, including the Dolphins losing and the Jets losing. Both of those things were good for them making the playoffs if they won today and lost next week. So I wasn't really thinking they were gonna bench the guys. The reason I didn't play ETN was because it just didn't work salary wise. And the reason I didn't play Evan Ingram is because this is the shit we were doing in like week 4 and 5 with Tyler Higbee. It's like, I know who these dudes are. I've been watching football for a long time. Guys can have like little 2 week spike periods and it doesn't. I've watched Evan Ingram play football for 7 years. He didn't miraculously become not Evan Ingram in the last month of the season. He's still Evan Ingram.
Well, and the other thing is it's not just Evan Ingram. It's like a moderate price tight end, right? These guys just have huge fluctuation. Guys,
come on. Let's not be like, it wasn't just a couple good efficiency games from Evan Ingram. I mean, he literally had insane volume. It was 8 targets, 10 targets, 15 targets, and 7 targets in 4 games in a row. This was not.
So did Tyler Higbee.
No.
Yes.
Tyler Higbee has never had 15 games in his career.
TJ Hawkinson heading into the game that we all TJ Hawkinson heading into the game we all faded him for last week was the same deal.
George Kittle, massive whopper. I mean, I'm shocked and appalled by you pushing back on this. Shocked and appalled,
you
my friend.
Eat the L, dude. It was you paid $4,400 for Evan Ingram and he sucked. Like, what did you expect?
So you could get Drake London in there. My God, this is insane. How did you get there, Nate?
Because no one played McCaffrey. McCaffrey was the fourth most owned running back.
Insanity. Insanity. But, you know, I just think the reality is like this archetype of tight end is just not one you can rely on. So the general rule when I'm looking at my lineups, it's like I'm going to get the running backs that I want.
Sammy, I'm going to push back on that. There actually is an archetype of the $4,400 tight end you can pay, but it's the opposite of the Evan Ingram archetype. It's not the guy who's been $3,000 all year who's on a spike for a month. It's the Darren Waller, George Kittle, yada yada, guy who stunk for a month.
Yeah,
and I'm much more likely to play that dude than I am to play, you know, Greg Dulcich when he's 3,900, Evan Ingram when he's 4,400, Tyler Higbee when he's priced up.
Very, very fair, and I agree. But you know, the reality is you're making your lineup, and it's just like, let me get the receivers I want, let me get the running backs I want, and this, you know, $4,400 tight end, this is not going to be the guy who buries me. It just doesn't happen. And
well, it did. It literally happened last week. TJ Hawkinson buried.
Why are you bringing up old shit, man?
It's happened the last 4 weeks in a row. Actually, if we're going to be honest, it was Evan Ingram 3 weeks and then Hawkinson for.
But people
week.
Weren't like, playing Ingram and cash the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, Hawkinson last week was like 40%.
Yeah. Shit. I had another. Nate, of all people, you've been telling us about the Patriots passing game for the last 2 weeks. How did you get off Hunter Henry with Jonnu out here?
Well, I mean, Hunter Henry, though, I mean, legit last week, the knee injury, he was questionable coming into today. I mean, I literally could have seen 10 snaps from him and not been surprised.
No, they were not playing Matt Sokol in a must-win game, bro.
Dude, I'm not going to play a tight end who literally got like zero snaps last week after re-aggravating a knee injury and then was out all week in practice. Like, it was a game-time decision that they ruled him in. it wasn't like a slam dunk play. Evan Engram had zero injury question mark. It was just a question of whether or not Jaguars were going to go for it. So it's, yeah, I don't know. The floor that you were taking was a zero with Henry.
Yeah, but they all have zero floors down there.
Yeah.
At least Jelaney, you knew, was going to be running routes, whether or not he was going to get it.
Well, sort of. I mean, he splits routes.
Who?
Jelaney Woods.
Jelaney Woods. Yeah, I mean, but Kylan Granson was out. And,
yeah, Granson was out. There was nobody.
Ashton Doolin was out. So the spread got a little. I mean, I thought
Woods, all three tight ends of Otten, Jelaney, and Henry
I thought they were all fine. Yeah.
I kind of want to tilt Otten a little bit. Like, Tom Brady drops back to pass 45 times. Otten gets six targets, including like a couple of end zone targets, and he just doesn't get there. It's like, come on, Otten, come on, rookie, let's go. I was big into Otten once what's his face, their other tight end who sucks,
Cam Brady.
Yeah, once he got ruled out, like, it was just like, because Brady just, dude, he always drops back to pass 40 plus times, like always, you know, and he throws the ball short, except for today when he decided to remember that Mike Evans existed. And now Mike Evans is going to like have this like good looking stat line next year. And best ball, third round pick, Mike Evans, like clockwork.
Well, it won't be me. Definitely. I'm trying to find, we've been doing these shows on Monday morning, so I've had like snap counts and stuff up, but I don't have Patriots snap counts up here on Sunday night. So
nah, tough, but Henry did do well. Henry was 5 for 52. I think I'm sure he played a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I bet if we looked, he probably played every single offensive snap, which was the thesis behind the play. 49ers defense, I mean, Stidham ended up balling, but I don't know. Sometimes it is what it is.
Right, just like everything, you know, I played Otten to play Otten, who I liked better. I decided, yeah, I'm not going to play the 49ers defense, and I almost played the Patriots defense. That's the tilting thing. I was like, on the Patriots. I looked at projections. I had the money. I'm like, well, I'll do Atlanta. And the Patriots, of course, scored a touchdown because that's what they do.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah. Tough scene for me. I basically broke even, whereas if I had just done like one thing differently, or CMC had a couple more points at the end or whatever, like, it would have been a smash. I freaking hate it.
Isn't fantasy football stupid, dude?
I was telling my wife. So, like, I didn't watch half of the games. We went to, like, this, our friend's birthday party. And we're going, and she's like, how's fantasy going? You know, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know why I do this, hon. Like, I don't. All it does is cause me heartbreak and heartache. When I win, it feels so much worse than how bad it feels when I lose. We're just sick pups. It's an addiction. It's really bad.
I mean, and I feel it every time when we get to week 17. It's like, what are we doing with our lives?
But imagine quitting before the miracle happens. Like, imagine giving up before the big bink.
Oh, I will never log off. I will never log off.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, do we got anything else on these cash teams? I mean, Nate, do you want to talk about why you didn't play Barkley?
No, I mean, I thought Barkley was great. It was just that James Conner, like, the workload that James Conner's getting is literally, like, unassailable. The only thing that could have hurt him was an injury, and it happened. There wasn't a whole lot there. It was just construction. But I don't think Barkley was bad. The only thing I thought was thin was there were some people playing, like, the Algier thing, with Cordero Patterson still getting the workload that he does. Like, I don't know how Algier was that owned at that price. Like,
I mean, because
I don't know. I think the Robinson
thing
is significant. I think Robinson was a significantly better play. Obviously, it didn't work out that way, but
yeah. Well, Davis, talk about kind of your decision and my decision too to play Saquon over James Conner, because Conner was what, like, 800 less, and so, we do know Conner's in the dome. We do know he's got a great workload. Results wise, obviously Barkley didn't do great. He was outrushed by Daniel Jones. He was outrushed by Matt Breida, and he got two catches for -5 yards. It was a very tough scene. The team scored 38 points. He didn't score any of them. So obviously bad run out for Saquon, but like, what was going through your mind in terms of, like, you know, I won't take the $800 savings and apply them elsewhere.
So it was like a couple things. The first being more specific to Conner, which was David Blau, who has not been with the team all year, was starting for them at quarterback. Because it was unclear to me why. Like, Colt McCoy still has concussion symptoms, but I don't know if McSorley is banged up. I mean, I didn't look enough into it, but
I think McSorley just played too good, and they're like, we got to get a good draft pick.
And Blau is, like, to me, even worse than McSorley. Because, like, McSorley, at least, like, I don't know, can, like, run around. And maybe that's wrong. Like, maybe David Blau is better. And then, you know, just, like, James Conner is, like, a 29-year-old running back who's not going to be on their team next year. Like, what's the point of playing him? You know, Keontae Ingram can be in there or whatever. And then the other thing was just, like, this is a must-win game for the Giants. Like, they're not – if this is close or competitive at all, like, Barkley's just going to be in there. What ended up happening was Daniel Jones scored all their rushing touchdowns, and so Barkley got totally cucked. And honestly, maybe a flaw in just thinking that a Nick Foles-led Colts team was going to be competitive at all, because Foles is – I mean, I've watched a lot of bad football this year, and Foles is maybe the worst. But basically, I just thought Conner was, like, a tier one play, but priced similarly enough to Conner that it was worth getting. And he also got a shit ton of receiving work last week, which I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have bought. But it's fucking Saquon Barkley versus James Conner.
I know.
It's Saquon.
Saquon breaks off the 60-yarder. You're like, why did I play James Conner? I mean, for me, really, like, I actually agree with Nate's thesis that Conner's workload is obscene. I wasn't really that worried about...
Yeah, Conner was not a bad play.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about anybody cucking him. For me, it was more the systemic risk. Like you said, David Blau starting. Dortch was essentially a lock. And Dortch, I mean, I didn't watch the game, so I don't know, but it feels like he ran insanely bad. He got 10 targets and ended up with 15 receiving yards. I mean, Jesus Christ, bro. Like, lock it up. This guy was... all world last week. All world. I mean, caught 10 of 11 targets, like, got 3 rushing attempts. It was just like, oh yeah, Greg Dortch, like, he's the man. So he was a stone lock, and I just didn't want to have two players from that offense being led by David Blau. I was kind of like, you know what, like, I don't want to play Conner here. That was kind of my thought process.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nate, like, I don't know. What's Saquon's... I mean, I'm like not the biggest Saquon dude, but I don't know.
I'm a huge Saquon guy. I mean, obviously Saquon's talent is far superior to James Conner. the issue with Saquon is Daniel Jones legit is like a factor in this offense now. Daniel Jones runs a significant portion more than I think what people are realizing. And when you actually start to break down volume and you realize you can't really give Saquon more than like a 55 to 60% of the rushing share compared to Connor, who's going to get 80% plus of the rushing share. Add to that, that Daniel Jones is a factor around the goal line, where in Arizona, if Connor gets anywhere near the goal line, he's getting the workload. Like, so I like, again, Saquon wasn't a bad play. I just thought for $800 cheaper, like James Connor in this spot, I thought was a great play. So I'm not going to like hate on Saquon.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon was just like, damn it, like must win game. And I kind of disagree, Davis, with the idea that Indianapolis needed to stay competitive. It's like, no, dude, like the New York Giants need to win this game. They are going to go all out. And they did. They crushed. And
it was
scored
just
38
through
points,
Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just tough scene all around.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true. But it's also like it wasn't like for the very similar thing to the Jaguars, like it was a game that they did need to win. Like a loss in this game would have been bad for them. Like not to the same degree where it's like win and you're in, like it was for the Giants, but similarly. And by the end, you know, Matt Breida was in there in the fourth quarter.
Tough. Very, very tough. We hate it.
All right. So I want to start our GPP segment with this note. Duplicated millionaire maker winner, 148,000 entries, and the winning team was duped by two separate users. Tom Brady double stack with Godwin and Evans, DJ Moore bring back, McCaffrey and ETN, Hunter Henry, Darren Waller in the flex, the New Orleans Saints defense, 4% owned. I mean, honestly, like some pretty chalky plays, got people, you know, some people played these dudes in cash, but literally duped, dude. Like nuts. That is crazy. And I wonder if either of these users noticed. Probably not, because they would have been, yeah, I don't know. That's some.
Maybe they did, and they're sitting there playing chicken. You know, they're like, well, I'll make him swap. You know,
right? Yeah, yeah. No, you're probably right. So I obviously did not play any Tom Brady double stack. So no sweats for me. I'm gonna pick the dumber of the teams that I did today in high stakes single entry, just as an example of like. Really, this is the type of shit you should not be doing. And I knew I shouldn't be doing this before I clicked. Like, literally, this is so fucking stupid, this team that I did. So I did
I can't wait for Nate to one-up you, by the way.
No,
I was
no,
going to say, I'm definitely going to one-up you here.
This is just so bad, because here's the thing. And this has just been proven, like, every single slate this year. You do need to not just play like the cash lineup, but like you can totally be playing Christian McCaffrey 30%. You know, you could play Garrett Wilson, you could play Greg Dortch or whatever in these slates if you're getting weird elsewhere. And I fucking, this team sucks. All right. So I did a Teddy Bridgewater double stack because Sammy, you'll appreciate this. I saw a tweet pregame that two of the guys playing two of the five defensive backs starting for the Patriots today had never played defensive back in the NFL before.
This is why I swapped off of the Patriots defense and catch. Oh my God. I just stay off Twitter and we win money.
deleted your Twitters, you guys would be more profitable.
I did actually see a pretty helpful thing today though about Miles Sanders having a knee brace on and the beat saying the plan was to like not like go all in on Miles Sanders.
It had
today.
Nothing to do with his knee brace. It was that they literally had like three offensive plays with 2 minutes left in the first quarter. I mean, he only ran them. It had nothing to do with them working away from him.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. You're right. Anyway, it's a Teddy Bridgewater double, obviously, with Tyreek and Waddle. I use Hunter Henry as my bring back. All snowflakes there. Teddy Bridgewater even got injured and left this game. Tyreek scored a rushing touchdown that did not count as a reception from Teddy. I played AJ Dillon, which actually I think was actually the only good thing I did in this lineup was AJ Dillon, basically just saying like the Vikings stink, the Packers are way better than them, and they don't like to give Aaron Jones the ball at the goal line. Played Kenneth Walker in this lineup. I mean, I felt pretty good about that too. 2% owned, he was leveraged on that Jets game.
I love that.
15% owned Drake London, not great, but again, in the context of this lineup, whatever. Isaiah Pacheco, I thought it's so crazy. Pacheco has been every week, this dude's been like 30%. And this week, really the same thing. Huge favorite against a shitty team, 3% owned. And then this lineup had the 49ers defense.
And McKinnon still gets there.
And McKinnon still gets there. Which I think, by the way, like, I didn't think they would be this owned because I thought the Falcons would pull some of the ownership away. But I actually think this is the type of lineup where you can play these high owned defenses. But the point is, this lineup is absolutely fucking terrible. There are way too many low owned plays in here. This is so stupid. And someone should have stopped me before lock from playing a team this bad.
It's a little gal, for sure.
I'm probably giving up 40 points off of the projected optimal on this team.
Yeah, that's probably too many. But, you know, the idea that you should be more contrarian in single entry, I think, holds water. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with going
when the field size is a bit smaller and you're not just trying to play the lottery of like getting all positions correct,
right?
You're trying to find the right correlation. Sure. But this is just giving up too much projected points. This team sucks. And, you know, we need to get better. Sammy, you got to go next because we got to leave Nate for last, obviously.
Oh yeah. All right. So, this was in the Big Spy and I played.
I love when they run that contest, the Big Spy.
Me too. It's the best. I played naked Justin Fields. Felt really good about that naked Justin Fields, especially when he hit the bonus.
How owned was Kmet?
I don't know.
He was in the teens.
Yeah, and I actually have another team with Fields where I did stack him with Kmet.
Okay.
In the red zone. But I just went in the Spy, I just went naked Justin Fields. And God, he had the bonus with 4 minutes to go in like the first quarter and then just like pooped out, which sucked.
Well, he got smoked on that run where he got the bonus, dude. He got smoked.
Yeah.
He looked bad after that.
Yeah. I brought it back with DJ Shark. He was actually like close to 20% owned, so that wasn't that great of a play, but I was trying to leverage off Amon-Ra. I played Miles Sanders in this lineup. He was only 5.7% snowflake. I played Brian Robinson, who is mega chalky, 42% snowflake. And then I played a mini correlation with Tyreek Hill and our boy Hunter Henry, snowflake for Tyreek Hill. I played Greg Dortch. And I played Austin Eckler at 3.5%.
How about that?
Massive smash. And the Commanders defense at home against Cleveland, which I thought was actually a really good tournament play. They were 2% at home against, you know.
That's solid.
Sexual abuser Deshaun Watson, who sucks, and instead they got smoked. Damn, and that was a mini correlation.
Carson Wentz really is ass, by the way.
He's so bad,
like,
bro.
Deshaun Watson should be in jail for sure, but like...
Carson Wentz should also be in jail for what he does on the football field, right?
Yes.
Deshaun Watson, his transgressions are mostly off. But I like the way that I set this lineup up. I thought it made sense. I liked getting Eckler. So this is kind of what you're talking about, Davis. You know, Fields, Robinson, Dortch, and Chark were all fairly chalky.
Big chalk, yeah.
They were big chalk, but then it was Sanders 5.7%, Tyreek 8.7%, Henry 3.8%, Eckler 3.5%, Commanders 1.9%. And I thought they were all like reasonably good plays. So this lineup did not cash too many snowflakes, but yeah, I'm happy with the process, and I'll be awaiting the Sklansky Bucks getting deposited in my account very soon.
All right, Nate, this is what the people come here for.
Yep. Well, went with a Fields double stack. So I'd stack Fields with Montgomery and Kmet.
Come on, Nate.
He was playing the Geno Smith versus Jared Goff, you know, week 5 thesis here.
My God.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I thought this game was the game to have exposure to, and I wanted to do it in a way that wasn't just Goff and St. Brown. Like, so I thought Fields, Montgomery, and Kmet would be a way to pivot off of that, but still get exposure to that game. Brought it back with Swift, which I felt great about.
Strong. Yeah, when Justin Jackson got ruled out, I thought Swift was quite a good play.
So I mean, that was my main thing. I wanted exposure to Detroit, Chicago, not through, I mean, I excluded Garrett Wilson and St. Brown and Goff in every tournament build that I did.
Yeah. Look, I get the thesis behind it. I just don't think Justin Fields double stacks ever get there. I mean, he played the whole game, was down the whole game, and he threw the ball 21 times and completed 7 passes. It's just like, well, when do two of his pass catchers ever get there?
I mean, it wasn't two of his pass catchers. It was one of his pass catchers. It was Montgomery. So like, yeah. And the thing about Kmet is that he's cheap enough that all I need to do is beat, like all I needed was the touchdown. Kmet, you could have gotten there. I mean, I didn't realize he was going to be 15% owned, but at tight end, I don't really feel like I'm giving up a whole lot of projection. It's not like I'm stacking with Dante Pettis and giving up a wide receiver.
Tight end is the place where you can just give up like 8 points of projection. It's just like whatever.
Yeah.
I chose to give up all my upside at wide receiver in this lineup because I played looking at this team, I cannot believe I hit submit.
Let it out, Nate. Let it out. Let's hear it.
So I excluded St. Brown and Garrett Wilson because I said I'm not playing 30% owned wide receivers in tournaments, regardless of their upside. So I did get Greg Dortch at 30%, no upside. I am ashamed.
No, I don't actually. Yeah, no.
I'm ashamed that I got 30% owned Greg
Dortch. I was hoping for something better, Nate.
It does get better. Obviously, okay. Drake London, 15% owned. I feel fine about that.
Like, please say this it's next like one. Kendrick Bourne or something.
Even better. Patriots better. Passing game.
Even better. Brandon Cooks.
Oh, geez.
Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks in single-digit ownership.
Nate, literally Wednesday on the Swolecast, I literally said, guys, don't be the fucking losers who look at their spreadsheets and plug Brandon Cooks back in this week. Like,
I played Brandon Cooks, Drake London, and Greg Dorch so that I could get up to CMC.
The dustiest wide receiver room in modern American history.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. And then I got CMC. So my team did get their min cash, but it was an abomination of a wide receiver.
And then I had
Chargers D.
I think Dorch was like, I rarely play the chalky min-priced wide receiver in GPPs because exactly what you're saying, Nate, they just possess so little upside, but garners so much ownership. But I actually thought that Dortch was good for this week. I was big into Dortch. I'm so tilted that he didn't get there. Like 10 freaking targets and 15 receiving yards. Like, come on, bro. Come on. I thought he was a good play.
I mean, he is at the price.
If Greg Dortch gets
12 and multiple, you know, if CMC did what he did and then, you know, I don't know, like Mahomes gets 32 and Kelsey gets 21 or whatever, you would have like needed Dortch to win and it wouldn't have mattered how owned he was. Mahomes, by the way, this Chiefs season, unbelievable. He leads the NFL in passing yards, leads the NFL in passing touchdowns. Chiefs are the number one team in points, number one team in yards per play, and they have three guys who are playable in fantasy, and it's Mahomes, McKinnon, and Kelsey.
And Kelsey.
And it's only Kelsey sometimes.
Yeah,
to lead the NFL in receiving and to not have a playable wide receiver in a given DFS slate is, like, unbelievable.
Do you know how many different Chiefs caught a pass today?
Oh, that's a good game. I'm going to guess 11.
Circle takes a square. It's 11. Tony, McKinnon, Kelsey, Sky Moore, Valdez Scantling, Watson, Juju, Pacheco, Blake Bell, Noah Gray, and Patrick Mahomes himself caught a 6-yard pass.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, amazing. What 11. A dumb team.
11.
Here's the thing. They're not going to win the Super Bowl because they're like setting world records for fucking around in these games. I mean, you just watch them and it feels like you're watching a bunch of teenage boys playing grab ass. They get to like the 11 yard line and Mahomes is just like doing the hand motions and yelling at it. Like I feel like he just threw an interception today because he got bored. He was like, I'm just going to throw this interception to Justin Simmons out of boredom. I don't know what it's
as somebody who owns Harrison Butker in a championship final, this was a very displeasing outcome to me. And also was playing against Jerick McKinnon. So they do all this bullshit and then none of it works. And then they just like dump it off to McKinnon and nobody covers him.
And he just jets his way in. Yeah.
Yeah. Nate, do you have a, worst beat on Prize Picks today?
I mean, the Miles Sanders, I had so much Miles Sanders exposure. He wrecked me today.
It was a pretty high line, bro. It was 77.5.
Well, I mean, I didn't plan on him having 3 touches by the end of the first quarter.
Do you think the people who think that Gardner Minshew is as good as Jalen Hurts against the spread, do you think maybe
I thought they were going to run the ball 1,000 times. I literally thought Miles
Sanders.
Well,
they would have, I think, but they just didn't even have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, they just never had the ball essentially in the first half. And then even when they did finally get it, like that huge touchdown to A.J. Brown where he just beasted over everybody, it was just like, okay, well, that's like the pick six thing where no time goes off the clock and the other team has the ball again.
Taysom just showed them who's boss today, really.
Yeah, Miles Sanders and Tyreek depleted my Prize Picks balance.
I also had a lot of Tyreek, and I'm gonna let out the worst Prize Picks play I've ever made. The over-under for this gentleman was 13 DraftKings points. The quarterback, the cuck himself.
Ramondre Stevenson.
No. He's a quarterback. Carson Wentz. I took Carson Wentz fantasy points overs.
And you should retire.
Dude, is that a cry for help, dude? Like, what? What did I just hear?
He was projected for like 15 and change, and I was like, ooh.
I mean, I guess that's the difference between, you know, being a real hardo who just bets when the number's good versus someone who bets with their heart. Because I could see Carson Wentz projected for like 29, you know, against a flag football team, and I'd be like, no, he'll fuck it up somehow. He's Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I douche that one. Bad job, Sammy. I went with the spreadsheets. I didn't. I just kind of treated it like it's a science. Sometimes it's not, my friend. Sometimes it's a little bit more of an art, and I got reminded of that today.
Sometimes it is a little bit more of an art. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us here at the program today. We are going to be back in week 18 with none other than Mr. Peter Overzet for Cash Game Week. So send your invites to Davis Manick on DraftKings, Whirling Dervish on DraftKings, Nate N on DraftKings, and Revert Z Top on DraftKings, which, as Peter will remind you, is just his name backwards. I don't know. It's hard to tell whose name is worse, Sammy's or Peter's or Nate's, just due to the fact that it's not distinguishable and you can't find him inside.
Nathan.
Yeah, I never get invites, and it's the worst.
I actually now have a group of people who have a recurring game with me. So just every Wednesday when the system updates, their game just sends to me automatically.
Yeah, at least my brand is strong. Every time they mention the term Whirling Dervish on an NFL broadcast, which has now happened multiple times this season, my DMs blow up. So the people know.
What is a Whirling Dervish? What is that from?
The meaning of it is you can Google it. It's like some like crazy like Arabic dance or something, these dancers, but it's from Magic the Gathering. It was a Magic the Gathering card, the Whirling Dervish. Yeah.
Okay.
Good God. What did we just do to this podcast?
Nerd alert. Well, you know.
Hey man, no, I got no issues.
That's where poker players come from, Nate. They come from MTG.
He's not.
That's how it happens.
Wrong. Yeah. All right, boys, week 18, cash game week. Be there, be square, and we'll see you then.